Usually I do them in French, but I had a few in English with Will last year, or I just did one with Laura and Gael, and one with
Craig and Carlos.
Sorry?
Did you do one with Craig and Carlos?
No,
Kate
and Tom.
From
Wage House.
Pas d'impro. Une discussion avec les artisans du spontané. Juste une discussion, pas d'impro. Idée originale de Frédéric Bambouchi, musique Dominique Hamel.
I'm Rachel Rosenthal. You can find me on the internet at therayroshow.com. I perform with North Coast, which is a hip-hop improv comedy team out of New York City. I perform with Blank the Musical, as well as Ray Roast, my improv duo with my real-life romantic partner, Sam DeRose. Mm. And I play with international touring company Big Bang, which I've been playing with for, 12, 15 years. And in New York, I teach at Brooklyn Comedy Collective, as well as I run the classes program for North Coast. We teach hip-hop improv classes, and I tour around. This is my full-time gig, so I teach and perform for a living. I am very blessed.
My name is Sam DeRost. I'm the head writer of the actor-musician ensemble Thicket and Thistle and half of the improv duo Ray Roast with my real-life romantic partner, Rachel Rosenthal.
We're at the Hilton Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're talking about improv like we always do.
Yeah. What else do we talk about?
So you just got out of a workshop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being like grounded, even though it can be comical or...
I think we're calling it either believably funny or grounding your silly. Mm-hmm. And it kind of came out of the fact that I do think that whenever you say, let's make some grounded scenes, a lot of people then make really boring scenes.
Right.
Or it has to be so real that nothing interesting happens. And I think the way that we are is we act and commit so hard that you can make a really silly scene, a really big character feel believable. And so that's kind of what the workshop was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just respect what you put in place and play with it. I noticed that, in Montreal, there's a lot of, you want to make people laugh and then you say something awkward or something big. And then people don't always react to this like they should.
Mm-hmm.
If you say something really incredible, everybody has to react to the fact that it's huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes by being funny, we pushed it aside, just trying to be funnier and funnier and funnier.
Yeah, I think sometimes, if you have an audience that's really quiet, a lot of times the impulse is to go, all right, better do something totally random and invent something that has nothing to do with my scene or whatever.
Yeah.
But actually, what if you just commit really hard to what you were doing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then add something surprising or whatever.
Yeah, if you just feel out the audience, if it's like, all right, we're quiet, so then we're going to really ground it, and then we can work up to something together, and that'll grow over time, the more they buy in, then we're all along for the ride.
Yeah, I think Sam keeps using this phrase, buy-in, which I think is really good, because it's like, the example we were using is, if my character has hot dogs for legs, how can you play that as real as possible so that the audience buys in? I guess that person has hot dogs for a while.
Yeah, I say it's like the Jedi mind.
The Force.
The Force, yeah. I have hot dog for legs.
Yeah.
Okay, he has hot dogs.
Yeah.
People accept.
And what does that mean emotionally? It's not easy. People are always trying to, first of all, people think I smell weird.
Yeah.
I can't date any vegetarians.
Can't go in a sauna.
No.
No.
No, God, no. Oh, God, no. There's sauerkraut all over my bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always try to teach to be realistic even though you're playing a clerk or a galactic gorilla.
Right, right.
Just do the best galactic gorilla you can do.
Right, yeah. Right.
And you were playing last night together?
Yes.
The Rose Show,
Ray Rose. It comes from Rachel, her nickname being Rachel Rosenthal is Ray Rowe.
Everyone calls me Ray Rowe.
And then when we met, my last name is DeRost. And so then like our celebrity couple name was Ray Roast.
Yeah.
And so then we workshopped so many improv team names. We're like, let's just go with Ray Rose.
We had a note. It had in our phone of all these potential improv duo names, and we're like, oh, forget it. Let's just go with Ray Rose.
Right.
But it is, I've never loved it.
No.
Because
no, I don't
people, first of all, they see the spelling because of the spelling of Sam's last name, and no one knows how to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And
how is it? How do you write it?
R O E S T.
R O. Yeah.
So Rose. People say Ray Roest, Ray Roost.
Yeah.
But anyway, we don't really care.
No.
And the show, do you do that show a lot?
Not often, no. Honestly. We do it at festivals, and we've done a handful of shows. And we perform together in other capacities as well.
But. Yeah. We do another show that is not really improv. That is, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it on this podcast.
Yeah, so you can talk about anything.
But we do a show, we haven't done it in a while, but it's called The Generation Gap.
Okay.
So the two of us have a 12-year age difference. And we're engaged, so we're getting married in a couple months. And one of the things...
Oh, congrats.
Thanks. Thank you.
So one of the things that we laugh about is that there's this period of time that we just can't talk about because it's, like, icky.
Yeah.
Because it's basically when I was, like, in college and Sam was a child.
Yeah.
You know?
I have the same...
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we just... It's just, like... Okay, where were you on this date? And it's like, oh, I was, you know, unemployed living in Boston. Mm-hmm. He was like, I was in fifth grade or whatever.
Yeah.
So we created a show about that where we take iconic pop culture references or like media that we loved, music, TV, and we talk about it in the show and teach each other and the audience about what that did for us as human beings.
Yeah, whether it's the Goonies or, you know...
or Green Day.
Pokemon.
Like,
yeah, actually, well, that
That's
one...
That's the big one that we're waiting for because... Yeah,
I'm not going to blow it out in the first couple.
Sam loves Pokemon and I literally don't even understand what it is as a concept.
Yeah.
I started to know about Pokemon because I have kids.
Uh-huh.
So now I know Pokemon.
Yeah.
But, So you usually do, you did a 25-minute show, but that's kind of weird for us because we always do an hour, 15 or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what are you used to do?
Well, we've done a couple sets that were longer, and I feel like the style we do kind of lends itself to that, but we're in New York, and so everyone's like, hey, you want to do 12 minutes? And it's like, okay, so we kind of get cooking, and then it's lights out. So,
I think our sweet spot is an hour.
Yeah.
Or 45. Yeah.
Yeah, 45.
And it's so true, by the way, because I started, like, really getting into improv when I was in Boston through Will Loera, and our shows were an hour 15. And I was really used to doing an hour 15 show.
Yeah.
And then I moved to New York, where everything's based around the Herald, apparently.
Yeah.
And I was like, 25 minutes? Like,
how
can we get anything done? I've been there 10 years now, almost. I'm used to it. But I prefer, especially the style of improv we do, where we're building slowly and stuff. I love when we can do a longer show, for sure.
Yeah. And they're called long forms.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're really short.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it's like we need two teams to fill out an hour. Like, just do the one, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you are establishing, I think some of it with New York is people want to get people to see their show.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, if we have another team, we'll get promotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, whereas North, like my team North Coast, we have enough of a following now that we have our own show and it's an hour and a half we do our thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We played in at the pit a few years ago, but nobody knew us. And so we had a few people.
Yeah. I mean, that's classic with that
New York. That's New York.
Yeah, that's true.
But just the fact that playing in New York was just for us, how do you say, a stepping stone or
yeah.
something.
Of course, yeah. yeah.
Just people were saying, yeah, you've been to New York, play.
Two nights.
Two
door.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is cool. And I think because I grew up around that area, for me, I forget the cachet or whatever that comes with New York. You know, when I perform somewhere, they're like, she's here all the way from New York City.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that is a big deal. Yeah. You know, I mean, Sam's not from New York, so I feel like you do understand that more.
Absolutely. I moved to New York just to say that I am an artist that lives in New York. And now I feel like once you move away, you have all those experience of years in New York. But it's the same as anywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit busier, but it's not like the quality. There's no gatekeeper at the door that's like, you're not good enough for New York. Get out of here.
I actually think what happens is in some of the larger markets, my personal opinion is that you do have improv on a really high level, but because there's so many people and it's so large, you actually have a lot of improv on the lower end of the spectrum because it's just so big.
And they can kind of feed themselves and it doesn't have to evolve. Like a small community that kind of gets better together, it can kind of just like all exist at the same time.
Yeah, so we talked about it a lot in the podcast, the fact that, well, in Quebec, it went... The improv match went viral in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody started playing because it was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so now there's hundreds of people playing it in Montreal and around Quebec. And each night you can go see, there is 4 to 6 places where you can go see improv. And it's great because people are meeting up, having fun, drinking beers, and but they're not pushing. They're just there for the
they're performing for, are they performing for each other?
No, there's
or is there the outside audience?
Yeah, there's outside audience and small audience, but it's going great. But that's
stopping us
for growing out of it and looking forward and trying new things.
Right.
I was just talking about this. I think it's interesting, like, I wonder how smaller communities can grow. I think if you have really good teachers, it can, and people can get to a certain level. But a lot of times, what I've seen in some places where they only have a couple teams and everyone is fine, everyone's okay at improv, and then they think, well, this is what good improv is, and then if they don't see it on a regular basis, it's hard for them to really ascend to the next level. And then sometimes, like, I don't know, I performed in Iceland with North Coast like 2 years ago, and I thought it was so amazing how everyone there was so good.
Yeah.
Have you guys
No,
been out
not
there?
To Iceland.
Everyone was so good. I mean, everyone was so smart, and they were. But they also, I was like, how did everyone out here, because talk about an island, know?
Yeah.
And there, you know, one of the people in their community went to New York and took classes for a while and happens to be a really good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she really helped grow that community. And everyone there's also just so freaking smart and quick. And I don't know, I was just so impressed because I've been to, I won't say where, but like other areas that were remote. And I'm like, it's going to be hard to build this community without some outside help. Yeah.
But you, both of you, you travel a lot for improv or?
Yeah, I think Rachel a little bit more so than me, but that's one of the ideas of doing improv together was like, we do everything together, so we might as well be on these trips together performing.
And yeah, I was doing a lot of traveling and I'm like, you know, it'd be really nice if you could come with me. Mm-hmm. We need to start doing improv together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the reasons we created the improv duo in the first place, because I was doing a lot of traveling. I do a lot of traveling with North Coast, but then also on my own as well, just teaching and stuff.
Yeah, I talked about your show last year on the podcast a lot.
Oh, we gotta go listen to
it. Yeah, well, in French, so...
I'm on it. I will work hard and I will... Yeah.
How do you call it? Hip opera?
Yeah, anybody, the historical hip opera, yeah.
Yeah, it was... great. Excellent.
To me, it's the best show I've ever seen. Yeah. It is, like, amazing. Because, I mean, I love musical improv, and I mean, I love music in the shows in general, but, like, hip-hop is just faster and harder to rhyme, you know? And with that hip-hop, they're still singing.
Yes.
It's not just rap, so it's, like, I mean, to me, it blows me away every time.
Just for the people who don't know what the format is, can you quickly...
Yeah. Well, so North Coast itself is a hip-hop improv team that's been around 10 years, started, and it's in New York, but we do a lot of traveling. But our show that we've... And the show is a basically free montage normally that's all hip-hop, so we have a live beatboxer on stage.
Yeah.
It's a musical improv show, but we're freestyling. Instead of piano, there's a beatboxer. We do singing, but it's mainly rap. And then we created, a few years ago, we created Anybody, the improvised historical hip opera. And the idea is Hamilton improvised. Mm. So in the beginning of the show, we get a suggestion from the audience of a historical figure or icon. Mm. And then we...
I saw Mary Todd Lincoln.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
Yeah. But it can be... Sometimes it's like Michael Jordan. Sometimes it's like an athlete or anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't always be... It's not always like historical.
Right. It could be, you know, we've done Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
We've done King David.
Yeah.
We've done Beyonce. We've done kind of all over the place.
And you ask people to get out their phones and ask them... Yeah. Question about their lives.
Yeah, I think what we figured out pretty early on is that like the first few times we did the show, we were like, okay, you guys said King David, great, here we go. And then we're like, who knows anything about King David? I don't know. Who's King David? When was this? Okay, anyway. And then we start, and it wasn't really a historical hip opera. It was a musical improv show where we made shit up, right?
Mm, yeah.
So we decided we wanted it to feel more factual and more real and give it some heart.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that's so great about Hamilton is that he was a flawed human being.
Yeah.
He wasn't this perfect person, but we can still see his story arc and we can still, you know, empathize and all this stuff. So now what we do is we do a short interview with the audience where we say, you know, what was his early life like?
Yeah. Childhood.
Childhood.
Love life.
What was the era that was going
era,
on?
Because
that's another, like, character is like, oh, did this take place during the civil rights movement? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's probably important, you know? We ask either how they died or if they're still alive, like, what we think their legacy will be. Mm-hmm. And then we pepper all of the... And if people in the audience don't know, we're like, take out your phones. We want real facts. Mm-hmm. We don't want...
And it's really concise. It takes about... What, 5 minutes?
Oh, that's so kind of you.
Well the way, but you
it's
you take turns and you ask each something different.
It's something we work.
Yeah,
we've worked on a lot.
I've seen the work.
Thank you.
I can notice the work.
Our director, Jody Shelton, is so good at that, and he's like, "All right, let's get these questions. Let's get them in and out." But also, it should feel fun and like, because it's still part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get those facts and then let's hit those facts on the show.
Because, as you said, it can be boring. I don't really like asking things to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
I know that in the States it's like sometimes a go-to format.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a non-geological clue or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I go see a play or a movie, mm-hmm. I don't like to be asked things, mm-hmm. you know? Once in a while, maybe. Mm-hmm. But so when I put on shows with my company, we usually almost never ask things to the audience.
You know, I teach a lot of improv, and what I always tell my students is, the reason we're doing that, we don't need to.
Mm.
We know we're improvising.
Yeah.
The reason is to prove to the audience that we're improvising. And I think I agree with you because we definitely don't need a suggestion. I think you get to a level where you don't need a suggestion. And I think it's feels so fun and organic. But you have those sort of like uneducated in improv audience members who are like, well, that was scripted. And it's like, no. And so hopefully if you shout out a word, we can prove to you.
Well, whatever, but when they say that was scripted, I say thank you.
I know. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
But Yeah, but you're in the middle of an improv fest, or you're in an improv venue. Right. You say, yeah, it was scripted. No, it's called The Pit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So
it's so true. Yeah. Maybe tonight we don't get a suggestion.
I've been thinking this whole time, what was our suggestion last night? Have no idea.
I do. I remember.
What was it?
It was generous.
Generous. Okay. Yeah, I think about it for 1 second and like let that inform my first choice and just let it go. Yeah. Because I also agree.
It's not bad. It's just you don't have to do it each time.
Yeah.
You know what I can't remember if it was Laura. I think it was Laura who said this on Improv Yak podcast about how in the United States improv is paired with sketch and stand-up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But internationally, it's paired with dance and theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that stood with me. It's so true. Mm-hmm. And when you go to international festivals, you see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's that. It has to do with that. It's what kind of audience is this? What are they looking for? What are they trained in? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of American audiences, I mean, your mom is always like, they used the suggestion, you know, like to
say. I don't know what that had to do with generous.
Right. Yeah. Well, she said popcorn and they never mentioned popcorn or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, people.
I want to have my cash back.
And so, but I think with different audiences, maybe in Montreal or like internationally, they know they're going here to see a piece of improvised theater.
Yeah. Oh, we still get what was prepared.
Yeah.
No, it was improvised.
Yeah.
But who cares? Yeah. Fuck the audience.
I have the same problem with my music. People always think that I'm always doing the same four, the sad one, the happy one, the dangerous one, and the sexy one.
Yeah.
So, not. I once did a thing that I already did before, and it kept me back in the past. So I couldn't be in the present, and it was really bad. Mm-hmm. I never did it again.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to plan out an improv set beforehand? Like if we tried to do the conspiracy, it would be so hard.
Actually one of the reasons I don't love form. Like I've always been such a free form person because I'm like, so you're telling me I have to bring that character back again in two scenes from now? Yeah. It's like, I'll bring that character back when I choose to. Okay, like when I feel it.
Play what you feel. That's what I always teach.
Yeah.
Just do well. I like to see the format as a little, like a little cap that you can take off and put on. Just subtle things that you know you're playing in those. Parameters.
Like this is the skeleton.
Yeah, that's it.
And yeah.
Yeah, like the hip opera is built.
Yeah.
Do you have to bring back?
It's a narrative structure. Yeah. Right. So, and to be honest, because I come from such a free form background, I really resisted it. I think I'd been on North Coast for six years maybe when we started doing this, or 7 years when we started doing it, I was like, I don't want to do a narrative. It's too formulaic. Yeah. I'm not going to be good at it. But it's actually been really good for me to learn. And I'm now in another show that does a musical narrative. But the only form we really have to it is basic narrative structure, which is we know obviously we're going to end with the death or the legacy. In Hamilton, at the end of the show, it's who lives, who dies, who tells your story. Mm-hmm. And it's a song that kind of lifts up the theme of the show and lifts up the character. Mm-hmm. So we always want to end on something like that. And the first two scenes, we see our protagonist mm-hmm. and what their want is and what they are up against.
Always?
Pretty much. But sometimes their antagonist might be something that is internal, you know, an inner demon or a drug addiction. You know, if you're doing,
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be Amy Winehouse. Yeah. That was so fun. And, you know, she had some inner demons.
Yeah.
And so we kind of show that as the antagonist. Yeah. And we do try to hit that because it really helps us find the beats throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
But,
But even though the structure is really strict, If you're relaxed enough, you can easily go through without thinking. Mm-hmm. But that's what I was wondering while I was watching your show last year. That how many hours did you put on this show before playing it?
Mm.
Because in improv, well, in Quebec and I'll say all over the world where I've been, there's a lot of people who think, well, it's improv, so just put on a show.
Oh,
and
my God.
We're starting to say, yeah, well, why not put 30 hours on this thing and see where it will lead us?
Mm-hmm. We 100% rehearse.
Yeah.
And that show required a lot of rehearsal and still does.
Mm-hmm.
So my team rehearsals, or we try to, twice a month. Back in the day, we used to rehearse weekly, but now everyone's too busy. But we also have at least one or two shows a week anyway.
Yeah, well, that helps.
And it helps the muscle. Yeah. But for that show, a ton of rehearsal. And then we kind of, once we really, first we workshopped it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it at the Pit and a few other places. Then we started doing it at the Caveat in the Lower East Side of New York, which is just a really great venue, and it's just on another level, and the ticket price is a little higher, so we want the quality of the show to be, you know, what it is. And yeah, we want it to feel like theater. Like, we want it to pack a punch. We dress sharp for the show.
Yeah.
And then we actually were
no
really
ugly shirts.
No ugly shirts. No, yeah, no, there's like a uniform, you know, a little bit of a uniform.
Yeah.
And then we did, we were really lucky a couple years ago, we rented out this like off-Broadway space, and we produced the show for a theater and on our own, and we brought in lighting and sound, and we really promoted it, and it was a huge undertaking, and so we did a ton of rehearsals for that, but it had such a big payoff, it was the coolest experience.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And your background is more from theater.
Yeah. I did improv and stuff, but I went to an acting conservatory in Portland, and I moved out to New York with my theater writing partner. We have a musical theater improv ensemble that's all actor musicians. So we're playing the music as we're singing and acting. We write all the shows and stuff. So.
Oh, he's starting to do it. But we played together. I'm talking about Dominique Hamel, our musical director. But we studied drama in Montreal together
as actors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got back to music because he came from music before that. And now he's the more we play, the more he's in the show. In the middle of it, and sometimes he talks, sometimes he acts.
In other troupes that I have in Montreal also, the more and more, I kind of like it, because when we went to France 2 months ago, I was somehow much, much more an actor and a musician at the same time, and
but that's
kind of rare there.
You play music also, and what did the... What is the? How do you feel when you're both playing music and acting?
Yeah, to me, I've always kind of circled back between those three camps of like theater, like acting, theater, straight up music, and then like comedy.
Okay.
And I just felt like I was never satisfied in any one camp. You know, I always felt like I'd look over I was always looking over the fence, being like, oh, but they're having so much fun over there. Oh no, they're having, you know, they're more legitimate over there. And I kind of just like couldn't stand. And the same thing with my writing partner, Kyle Atchison. And so
Kyle.
Shout out.
We formed our ensemble called Thicket and Thistle, and it's like a high bar of like, people, like, we met some people and they're like, have a gorgeous voice and they're great actors. And we're like, do you play an instrument? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you cannot be a part of it. You know? Like,
yeah,
you have
everyone
to.
Is like a triple threat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, you guys created the thing that works best for you creatively.
Yeah, yeah. And so it felt like, you know, we probably could more pursue, like, you know, start to audition or do other things, but we're all like, it's just more satisfying to be doing our own thing and like flexing all of our creative muscles and not letting them kind of atrophy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now here's the juicy part.
Yeah.
Juicy.
Yeah. Well, I told you about it. The reason why I make this podcast is to ask ourselves, what haven't we done yet that we want to do, and no limits. By asking me this question, I put on new shows. It's been 10 years now that I'm asking me this this question, and now I have like 12 new shows, because it starts when I say, oh, I can't do this. Oh, maybe if I tweak it that way or do this way. And that's why we're doing mass tonight. And we did it with 47 people last month, in July.
That was epic.
Yeah.
And that's why we have a wordless show. And that's why we have a show with four women and just a dude, a guy doing second characters. And
cool.
Yeah, we have all kinds of shows that that came from this question. And so if you had any kind of budget or venues or talented people or skills that you don't have now or you could get later, or
a rich uncle
what would you do? Or it can be as a format, or as where you want to bring improv in the future.
I mean, it's so tough. I feel like I have a lot of ideas in my head. Some are not big, some are small. I mean, from a smaller perspective, I personally keep wanting, I did one solo show, not scripted. I mean, I wrote it, but I haven't done a solo improv show, and I really want to do a solo musical, which I feel like I'm starting to get ideas for right now. But it's just something that I keep saying I want to do, and I never make the time for it. So that's one thing. I think, you know, as far as like improv on the higher level, I feel like there's so many groups right now that are trying to bring improv to Broadway and like have the Broadway audiences respect improv in the way that they respect other theater. I'm in Blank the Musical. Which that was really the idea, was to take Broadway and improvise it. And it's they say it's like 80% Broadway, 20% improv, even though the whole thing is improvised. Stylistically, that's what it should feel like. And they did it on an off-Broadway. They did it on New World Stages, which is a huge theater in New York where Avenue Q is or was. But it's hard to maintain because, you know, you need money to put on theater, right? And people are like, well, it's improv. You know, anyway, there's so many people who are trying to do that, and I wish it were easier. I don't know why it's so hard to make people want that or make people realize it can be really great, you know?
Well, we're fighting against a stigma that, you know, when you see improv in TV shows, they always do. And scene, and you know, you that's what
zip zaps off.
That's what the audience think improv is.
So anyway, what do you think?
I mean, like, in terms of like just having a bunch of money, I would just I would just be putting on shows.
I mean,
like, it's nobody's business. But I think, like, in terms of like trying to push the art form forward or whatever, in my theater ensemble, it's very much theater. Now, we use a lot of improv in the writing process, and there's spots in the script where it's a little bit more free, but it's theater. What I would be interested in is like that kind of format where we're playing all the instruments and it's a musical and it's improvised. That skill set is not fully in the group that I have in terms of improvising. There's like one other person, but everyone else is like, I need to know what to say. Tell me what to say. That's my only idea of that. And then
Hydraulic scene moving around.
Of course,
Stage, sorry.
In our group, we always have the phrase infinite monies. If we had infinite monies, what would the idea be? You know? And then, go from there.
Yeah, I mean, for North Coast, with anybody, you know, there have been people who have seen it and they're like, oh, if you guys had real lighting and you had just a little more staging. And we're like,
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Lin-Manuel's group Freestyle Love Supreme is coming to Broadway like this week, basically. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, if we, I'm like, our show's good too. We don't have Lin-Manuel in it, so I don't know how we'll get a Broadway show, but like, maybe I do think that what Lin-Manuel brings to the table is he is putting eyes on a lot of the things that people resisted before.
I don't know. It was...
Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda. He wrote and starred and created Hamilton.
Okay.
So he helped us, you know, bring hip-hop to a larger stage. North Coast has been around since way before Hamilton, but now people are like, oh, I could watch a hip-hop show because it's on Broadway, you know? And so hopefully people will be like, oh, now I can watch an improv show because it's on Broadway,
because
he's helping to bring it to the masses. But yeah, what about us? What will be our show that we, what's our big
one? I mean,
one?
I feel like if it's duo improv, we are where we want to be, right? Aww. We just want to be doing it. We just want to be doing it more, I think.
And married. We want to be doing it married.
We're getting married.
Perfect.
But I do think, like, we had talked about, like, taking that Generation Gap show in a more, like, maybe it's a podcast, maybe it's, like, something like that. I think, like, us, but, like, we do everything together, we live together, we're getting married. So I think, like, we do, like, respect each other's, like, personal creative space. Like, you have your group, I have my group, but we do things together on occasion. But,
that's great.
But, yeah, if because otherwise I think we'd be
I do
a
think
crazy.
That we haven't really... We're both musical improvisers, but we don't do musical improv together. Specifically for me, I think it's my choice because I do so much musical improv and I miss regular, like, rounded improv.
Yeah.
And so we get to do that together.
Yeah.
And I don't have to sing. But then, like, in the show last night, I sang. Like, it always happens. We're such musical people that every show has, like, a da-da-da-da. Like, something always happens where we're, like, playing fake instruments. But...
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you played with Big Bang yesterday.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've been doing this show for 12 or 15 years, I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
And I noticed that you you all broke character a few times.
Did you notice that?
A bit. Is it always like that?
No.
Or it's just getting back with the...
I do think that one of... that's so funny. I totally agree with that. I think one of the things that we really find joy in is making each other laugh.
Yeah.
So finding the things that push each other's buttons is definitely a part of Big Bang. I don't think we mess with the meta world as much as we did last night.
That was crazy.
But we also don't get to play with each other that much lately, so we were very excited.
Is it always this fast in the switch?
Well... I think we lend ourselves towards that. Big Bang does, but when we teach Freeform, we kind of talk about how the show will take whatever form it wants.
Yeah.
So not always, but we have so many kinds of transitions that I think it lends itself towards, we really follow the funny.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that tickled me. Let's jump there. But usually we also really like to do a 45-minute or hour-long show. And so we take time, I think, jumping out of the world a little bit before we jump back. But with a shorter show, maybe a little less.
I used to have a show called Saint Place who we did. It was Freeform. Well, we all played improv match for so many years that we said no. Now the format is no format. And. But we usually took longer in scenes to really go in deep with the characters, and sometimes scene would collide two scenes at the same time. Sometimes there's a character in two scenes talking to his mother and his lawyer in the same scene. So we found a lot of cinematographical.
That's it.
Well, let's say it is. Ways to merge scenes and go back and at the end everything got around and fit. But
Big Bang. I feel like it's one of my absolute favorite shows to do, because generally everything naturally. Twists back, but we never are like, hardcore making it do that or thinking about it or saying, oh, we got to bring back Charles from the farmhouse.
No.
And that's something I really love about it.
And it's even hard to not to do it because sometimes you're in the scene and, oh, this character fits with this. Oh, I have to do it now because I thought of it and and I can't go anywhere else because it popped up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And is there any shows that you've seen around the world that you said to yourself, that I haven't seen before?
I think the most impressive show I've seen outside of a North Coast show was a show that Rachel took me to on Valentine's Day, which is Your Love, Our Musical.
Yeah.
Where it's these two improvisers, Evan Kaufman and...
Rebecca Vigil,
yeah. And they do a long interview at the beginning of a couple.
They do
and
like
they
get a 30-minute interview.
Yeah, it is long. But they keep it entertaining. They're very good. But they do the whole love story of the person, and then they do the musical. And those two just have, like, perfect chemistry. That duo musical is just...
Really good singers.
Really good.
Like a bit of Time Life or what the format where you interview somebody's life.
So they interview a couple from the audience and ask how they met and what are each other's quirks. And then they do a musical of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's just the two of them and a band. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so good.
Yeah.
Improvised Shakespeare blew me away from Chicago. And I am... I don't know. It's rare that I see a show where I'm like, I've never seen that before, like you were saying. Or that I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they were just so good. They stood up to their reputation big time. Mm-hmm. I was in Munich this time last year with Will. Mm-hmm. We did Big Bang. And there was a silent improv show that was cool. It was, Will was in it. It was Will, Laura Dornwood, and a few other people, and it was great to see a silent show, which would never happen in New York, because everyone's like, clever, 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 you know?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, I was just looking at Dominic that we should do our wordless show in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to add that to a challenge for myself, doing a silent... or nonverbal show.
I think silent is a step up.
Yeah. Right.
Because,
you gotta be so...
Yeah.
Even footsteps?
Yeah.
Footstep, clapping, gasping, no?
Right. No, yeah. We can do those things.
Okay.
I'm saying at least just nonverbal, no dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no talking in our show.
Yeah, Z2. It's funny to do well.
I would love to
love music.
Yeah.
You need
music.
Yeah.
But so that
without music,
great.
It's interesting. It works.
Yeah.
Did they have music? I think they did. They had music. Yeah. It was great.
Not silent at all.
I guess silence not the right word.
Well, I mean that's what they call silent films, but there's music.
Yeah,
in those,
that's
so
true.
I feel
like
that's
okay.
Yeah.
Non-verbal. So you're playing tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at the Providence Improv Fest. So have fun tonight.
Yeah
it's you too. Be great.
And thanks a lot for this podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Pas d'impro est une présentation des productions de l'Instable, une compagnie de création dont la mission est de présenter des spectacles de théâtre improvisé et de réfléchir sur la création spontanée. Pour plus d'informations sur nos spectacles en salle, nos formations et notre direction artistique, rendez-vous au www.prodinstable.com.